You are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob, and together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. And each week, the three of us are going to provide you a technical analysis with charts, as well as cover the underlying fundamentals and news that moves and predicts the markets. So a little retrospection, a little look ahead. Miles, if you can recap our week since last week's show.
Yeah, let's take a little look at the precious metals and a couple other markets here over the last 7 calendar days, starting out with gold. A little midweek recap with gold down about 0.75%. So a tiny little inch down, but that's certainly not the whole story in gold this week. So gold currently sitting at actually 33.55 at this point. So that takes us down about 0.5%. As gold sitting pretty stationary, but the conversation's going to change with silver up a little over 5% in the last week and blowing through that $35 mark that we talked about last week, now sitting at $36.25. But it doesn't stop there. Let's jump to the top of the list here with platinum, the ever-present white metal that we've been poking it with a stick for a couple years now, guys. Platinum did another 13% last week from bottom to top and is all the way up at $1,232. It wasn't too long ago that platinum was still down in like the $800 or $900 range. So platinum is really on a tear and it's pulling its sister metal with it, although dragging it behind a little bit, a paltry 7.5% rise for palladium over the last week. So platinum up about 13, palladium up 7.5. Palladium currently sitting a little under 1,100 at around 1,072. The S&P looks a little bit more like gold as both of those markets are inching towards their most recent all-time highs. The S&P's up about 0.75%. So just a couple points here, currently sitting a little over 6,000, 6,024. And on the flip side, the dollar is down about 0.25% and is just under 99. It's currently at 98.80.
Yeah, the dollar continues its decline. Funny little chart here. The dollar is up in smoke. So there's a little bit of a joke there, and we'll get into a deeper dive on the U.S. dollar too, because a lot of the conversation, not just this week, but this year, is certainly centered around the dollar and the currency wars that we see going on globally. Miles, circling back around to gold, the white metals are just really outperforming gold, but it's holding strong. Silver and platinum, I mean, silver's up over 26% this year, and platinum's outperforming that, but what about gold? Anything that you have from a concern standpoint that the charts are telling you?
We went pretty heavy charts last week with this pause in the gold price. The one thing here I want to point out in gold, and we mentioned this last week, we had this declining channel as gold came off of that all-time high back at the end of April and had been stair-stepping down, blowing off a little steam, giving itself a chance to make something that resembled a correction. But here at the beginning of June, we had this breakout above that declining top end line that we had drawn on the chart here. And the next thing you look for, once you lift your knee up to climb the stairs, you got to put your foot firmly on the next step. So the next step was coming back and retouching that line, which used to be a ceiling and is now the floor. And it did that actually in the Asian markets in the evening here on Sunday and has been inching back up since then. So now the third thing we would look for a breakout move, and that's going to be a new higher high after we set what could be the new low. So that higher high is going to need to push us probably above 3,400. Now, I know that's not the previous all-time high, which was another $100 higher, but that's going to be a heck of an argument that we're at least going up that last $100 for sure if we see that happen, and a good chance that we might actually see it exceed it. So I certainly remain a little bit concerned that gold may not be giving us our seasonal summer decline that we all hope for. Because in the metals market, with inflation and all, we're always looking for those opportunities on a pullback to add to ounces. If we're looking at a continuation in the bull market this early in the year off of the last one, that's certainly good news for gold, but bad news for everything else, unfortunately.
I think platinum is taking center stage this last week. We've had 3 years in a row of continued shortfall of production coming out of the mines versus demand, anywhere from 500,000 ounces up to as much as 750,000 ounces each year. So that's catching up with us, and we have been waiting a long time.
I'm anxious to see if this has real legs. In 2022, we saw a similar spike. We were here price-wise because Russia invaded Ukraine, and a lot of the global supply obviously is in Russia. Their allies with South Africa, which is the other key component in terms of the mining supply. But I want to see it be a healthy market, broad-based commodities type of rally, which, Miles, you pointed out, I think that's what we're seeing. And I'm not trying to leave silver behind, but all three of those white metals are leading the charge as if it's a commodity. Definitely.
And I think if you look at the chart of the S&P Commodity Index versus the S&P 500, you can see the peaks and you can see the fact that we have bottomed on the commodity index versus the S&P 500. And we are going higher. I mean, we just know we are. And for platinum to be a third of the price of gold, when it used to be twice the price of gold, we've got a long way to go.
That makes for a great ratio trade in your precious metals portfolio. So you're holding platinum now, and even if it just gets to parity.
Even parity.
Would be a reason to move it into gold and pick up those additional ounces.
I've had clients waiting for 10 and 15 years with their platinum positions, and finally, they're seeing some hope.
Well, and that's just one ratio. Miles, if you can circle back to the silver conversation now as well, because the other ratio is the gold to silver ratio. And you were right. I can say on this show for years, Miles has been pointing at that $35 line in the sand.
Yeah.
That I'm so excited that this is a technical breakout.
It is.
So Miles, fun chart to show there, both in terms of the silver move and the gold-silver ratio.
Yeah, we've been talking for months now, just the argument of gold leading the charge and the lag you're going to see across the other commodities because of what's causing gold to go up. What's causing gold to go up is this competitive international fistfight over who can have the cheapest currency. And when you're inflating the whole globe at the same time, the cost of everything's going to increase. And lo and behold, this is do what we say, not what we do. We're decreasing our currency, but oh, by the way, all major nations are increasing their gold supplies at the same time because they know what the end game ends up looking like. So we've known for a while that we were going to have this significant push in gold. And at some point, we were going to see other commodities follow to play catch up. And Rob, I think to your point, that's why you look at something like a commodity index compared to the S&P over a 40, 50 year timeline. And you realize that commodities, despite the fact that things are going up, commodities are as undervalued as they've ever been in the last 50 years. So you translate that over to what's happening in, say, platinum or palladium in the precious metals, or Tori, like we're moving into now, silver. Well, what were we talking about a month ago? 100-to-1 gold to silver ratio. 100 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. That's significantly higher than the average. In fact, it was only the third time in history we'd ever seen that. So we know we had a number of clients that got to take advantage of that, either moving some of their gold into silver or just picking up some additional silver to take advantage. And now, lo and behold, that ratio is starting to slip back down.
Yeah, it's at 90-to-1 right now.
Yeah. Going back, I can't remember, it was earlier this year, but I remember the last time we saw the gold-silver ratio pop above 90. We went back and we looked at this over the last, let's say, 5-6 years. And it's, okay, 2019, gold-to-silver ratio above 90-to-1, silver jumps up 33%. In 2020?
In just a short period of time. I mean, we're talking
just a short months.
3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've already done a third of that just this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 2020. Going back, there's at least 6 examples, are there not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Several.
2020, 80%.
Yep.
2022, 34%. 2023, jumped up 32%. 2024 jumped up 49%. And so far, we're up, oh, just 25% from what
with
happened.
No end in sight. So right, we'll hold
no,
out
with
hope.
With no immediate end in sight thus
yeah, we,
far.
We don't want to set a record low, but I'll tell you that chart, I mean, that's what stimulated us to send out a buy silver signal to our clients January 1st. It hit that right at the end of the year. And then into that first month of January, once we cross that 90-to-1 threshold, that screams buy silver for that reason alone, but also just relative to gold.
Yeah. And then let's go back to about a year ago. Miles, you said if we can get above that $36, $38 price point for silver, there's really nothing between that and 50, and 50 is not a very strong ceiling either. So we're really close to seeing a significant breakout.
That's all built on what happened back during the previous bull market end. So we're talking 2011, 2012.
Yeah, the post-financial crisis, where the last time silver basically touched $50 an ounce. It'd done it once before. Rob, you were trading metals the first time. You were trading metals the second time, as were Miles and I. But yeah, if we can get that type of activity the third time, now you're looking at the ratio being at average or lower than average. So for example, if gold just stays where it is at roughly 3,300 and that ratio goes to about 70-to-1 towards the average, that's $47 silver. You guys, that's just not even a stretch.
No.
No. And that's not even the average. Like you look at the average gold versus silver pricing over the last 40, 50 years, 70 is still buy silver territory. That's what's so funny about it.
That's right. Yeah, that 50-year average is about 62-to-1. The more recent 40-year average, because it's a climbing channel, if you will, is about 65-to-1. So anything north of that is still buy silver. Everybody's portfolio is different. We can advise you on yours, but it depends on where your entry point is and whether or not we can help you. But this broad-based commodities, I mean, we're seeing commodities come to life in general. Now, gold is money. And I think that that's important for everybody to understand, is that more than anything, it's going to act like a currency, which is why central banks are hoarding gold instead of US dollars right now. The white metals are industrial metals, they're commodities, so they're going to move. The one that's bucking the trend is oil.
I think oil is going to get cheaper. I think Miles has a chart showing the downtrend for oil. That's going to drop food prices this time a year from now. So I think getting to work and putting food on the table, we're actually going to see some relief for the average wage earner. But at the same time, everything else is going to cost more. You want to buy a pair of shoes, put tires on your car, etc. All that's going up.
If we look at it over the last 50 years, oil has been the most important discussion point globally.
Amen.
Love it or hate it. We don't want to take a political stance here, but love it or hate it, oil has been, it's a meme. You know, we're humanitarian or not, depending on if your country has oil. Like it's a running joke that everybody understands, unfortunately.
But oil is at the center of the world economy.
Well, it is, and of every country's economy. It's still the number one energy source. So of course, this administration can say, look, it's a tightrope we're walking. We want to stimulate GDP growth. When you do that, that can drive inflation. We want a weaker dollar. When you do that, that can drive inflation. But if they put their eyes on a particular target, such as the oil market, they can target that in such a way where they can cause a deflationary type of event. And we're seeing that at the gas pump. And people feel that, to your point, Rob, right away. They feel fuel and food more than anything right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
But the commodities in general are going to get more expensive. The world monetary supply, the fiat currency system just means that prices climb over time. Every central bank has a mandate to have at least 2% inflation a year, which means cost of goods are going to go up at least 2%, which is going to be double that because the reporting is false. But one of the companies that we follow and subscribe to is Hedgeye Risk Management. They do a lot of macro, fundamental, but also technical analysis. Well, they have changed their tune from bearish oil, and they've been right, to neutral on oil. And then just this week now, they've actually switched to a bullish oil type of an approach. And so that could really fire back at the Trump administration if the oil prices start to work against them. And we'll see what ends up happening. But what they also do is they kind of lump the economy and inflation and policy into these quads, if you will, and They believe right now we're in a what they term their quad two, which is GDP is growing, which the numbers will show that the economy is actually doing well.
Inflation's coming down.
And well, inflation, it is coming down, but that's the April and May inflation numbers, which have been very positive, going against the mainstream media's predictions and economists' predictions as to what tariffs we're going to do in this Trump administration's policies. But inflation is actually creeping up now. It's going to be this 12-month average. Wouldn't surprise me if it's not up next month. Okay. But this month, I mean, just really good numbers. I mean, in terms of the CPI that we just got out today, it's muted. The inflation is totally muted right now, and it is not what people expected with the tariff policies. But if growth goes up and inflation goes up, in their quad two, if you will, that's pro-growth. That's when platinum and palladium actually love that type of a quad. Well, they also like it when growth is up and inflation is down. So we're seeing this white metal exposure here, but that doesn't mean that it's guaranteed. With the other chart that we showed from the Aiden sisters, it just shows, golly, commodities have almost nowhere to go but up relative to the equities markets.
Or you missed the second part of that, Tori, relative to the other markets.
Exactly.
Commodities do not have to go up. The other piece of that can go down.
Good point. The S&P could fall and that ratio will go the other way.
There you go.
Because when every time you're comparing, that's absolutely true. And I do want to tell our listeners, the main reason why we are focused on silver and platinum particularly isn't for a long-term hold. All we're looking for is ratio trading out of the white metals because all roads lead to gold. Gold is the monetary benchmark globally, just like oil is at the center of the world's economy, gold is at the center of the world's money. So all roads lead to either oil or gold when it comes to the economy or to the money.
Oh, that's exactly right. I mean, we're going to have this summer event here where the BRICS nations get back together next month in July. And so now this term being floated out there is this Rio reset, right? Because it's the meeting is in Rio de Janeiro. But Ghana's vice president said regarding their own de-dollarization efforts, quote, "The barter of gold for oil represents a major structural change," unquote. Now, we've already seen central banks stacking up. They're the ones driving this gold price higher.
Right.
They're putting a floor on any correction. There is no ceiling because they are big, big, big money. It's not the retail investor like Main Street doing this. But it's really representative of this global de-dollarization. So that's an international negative for us.
For the dollar.
Right.
Yeah. And for our bond market.
Yes.
Bonds are in huge trouble. That's where most of the money in America is in the bond market. And the foreign nations have stepped away from their bonds. They're actually liquidating bonds. And guess what they're buying?
They're buying gold.
Yeah.
Because they need to find a new reserve asset. Just like you do, you get tired of sitting in the bank with your own money and your cash is robbing you. Your cash is stealing from you because of inflation. If you're losing 5% purchasing power a year, that's not good. Your $100,000 the next year is only worth $95,000 in terms of what it'll buy. That's not a great savings account. And central banks get it.
Of course they do.
Same thing with the treasury market. What it really reflects is a dissatisfaction with the current system because the United States has become somewhat of a bully with the world reserve currency. And the dollar is the primary currency for international trade and financial reserves. And now they're seeking to diversify not only their economies and their savings, but their means of exchange, their monetary exchange. And some analysts predict it could lead to like a major shift, not only in the global economy, but also have potential negative impacts on the U.S. dollar. And you think, oh, how weak can the dollar get? Well, they really don't want anything to do with it. They saw what we did with Russia. Iran and Russia have entered into a currency agreement already together and have fully removed the U.S. dollar. So now they only trade in rubles and reals. But there's 11 other nations that have announced plans to stop using the dollar. And they're conducting about 85% of their cross-border transactions using local currencies instead of the U.S. dollar. That can actually be strong for the dollar. Like you start to see the dollar circulation slow down, the velocity of the dollar globally, and also the money supply, the U.S. dollar money supply. And that's okay, but Putin wants nothing to do with it. And Saudi Arabia decided to accept non-dollar currencies for oil transactions. So the petrodollar is gone. And you think, well, why does all that matter? One, we know it matters because President Trump said, this is a quote from him, "Many countries are leaving the dollar. They're not going to leave the dollar with me. I'll say, you leave the dollar, you're not doing business with the United States because we're going to put a 100% tariff on your goods, unquote. So it's a big deal.
Well, of course it's a big deal. And just to remind our listeners, who are these central banks that are buying the gold? They're the very people who print the currencies. They print the real, they print the yen, they print the ruble, they print the dollar. That's what a central bank does. They control the currency. So there's a big lesson behind why they're shifting their assets to gold.
I think this brings us back to food and oil, because the reality is the pie is only so big. Like, I think that's what a lot of people miss when considering the way pieces are cut globally. What, Russia's annual GDP is about 3 weeks of America's annual GDP. The size Great differences point. Between places like the United States is the United States doesn't compete with a country in Europe. We compete with all of Europe. We don't even compete with China. Our GDP is a little more than twice that of China. So we're competing with all of Asia combined. But every single year, you get these BRICS meetings, and it's one or two more countries. It's little bites getting taken out of the pie here and there, and all that adds up.
Yeah, it's a death by a thousand cuts.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And we have put, over the last 40, 50 years, we have put such a significant emphasis on one thing. It's like the guy that goes to the gym, and all he ever does is dumbbell curls with his right arm. And we've put such an emphasis into controlling the energy world through oil, internationally through OPEC. And as dollar denomination of oil starts to falter over the next 10 or 20 years, what's going to happen is we're going to have to start paying the same price as everybody else. And when food and when oil prices in the United States begin to heat up here, well, that's when people start getting involved. I mean, how irritated was everybody when egg prices went up a couple years ago? Now, imagine that's everything. Then they're going to turn around and they're going to go, well, shoot, housing prices have already doubled and tripled over the last 10, 20 years. Automotive prices have gone up significantly. It's like going down to Venezuela. Sure, you can fill your gas tank for a dollar, but you don't have another dollar to buy anything else. And I think that's what concerns me is we've so hyperfixated on one asset globally for the last 50 years that we have forgotten about everything else. And that's why you're seeing commodity prices across the board. Copper, nickel, tin, timber, silver, platinum, across the board. We've seen these commodity prices gradually and slowly increasing just like gold alongside everything else. And the only chart that we see going down is the dollar and oil. And you know what's funny about that? You take those two charts, you lay them over top of each other, you can't tell which one's which.
Yeah, that's a fascinating image that you show. And if you zero in on right now, oil's had a little 6% pop, whereas the dollar has remained down. There's a slight separation there. And the dollar being down is monetary policy. We want a weaker dollar. And Lagarde wants the euro to be bolstered. So you're right, Miles, it's been dollar and oil. Now it's becoming gold and oil, and yet other currencies are going to try to fill that void. She thinks a bigger role for the euro would lower borrowing costs, which is true, and it would boost Europe's economies, and it would insulate the European continent from volatile financial markets. But most importantly, she said, quote, protect Europe from sanctions or other coercive measures, unquote, which is how we have used the dollar to bully. That's the currency war. But why is a weaker dollar important? Everybody says, oh, okay, yeah, we need to weaken the dollar. Well, really what it does is currencies are relative. So when one currency weakens, there's another currency that's strengthening, kind of like this dollar-euro comparison. So if the dollar weakens, then there's a rise in value and there's an increased cost of local assets. But a weaker dollar means it doesn't buy as much abroad as it used to. So a weaker dollar helps the country from the standpoint of narrowing the trade deficit. It drives up imports, making them costlier, and it makes our exports cheaper. So you can imagine that drives U.S. manufacturing. It reduces imports, so it helps balance the trade deficit a little bit. And a weaker dollar helps the country pay off its debt more cheaply. We know that with the severe amount of debt we have. When the dollar weakens, obviously those U.S. goods become cheaper for buyers overseas. That helps our U.S. companies and our exporters. And it also means, though, unfortunately, that it can increase inflation. So that's the fine line that they're really having to walk. But it's all about a weak dollar driving lower costs of manufactured goods in the United States on the world stage. And then we have better employment, we have better exporting, we have a balanced trade. And all of that is good for the economy in the short term. But I'll tell you, a weaker dollar is also good for gold all the time.
Well, that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. Miles, take us out, buddy.
As always, we appreciate you joining us this week. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to swing on by our website to learn more about McIlvenny Precious Metals. You can reach us at McIlvenny.com. That's McIlvenny.com. If you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McIlvenny Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.